Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on the verse-by-verse study of the book of James. We're in the fourth chapter, and we have come to the 11th verse, 11th and 12th verses, and we're talking about, in particular, the sin of slander, the sin of slander. And we've had a couple of Wednesdays off, and so we're going to review and get caught back up, kind of refresh our memory. Amen? Amen. Let's put these things in remembrance. What? Lest at any time we should do what? Let them slip. Amen. So let's go back over this. Let's look at our foundation text, if you will. James, the fourth chapter, verses 11 and 12. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it reads, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." Verse 12. "There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" In verse 12, he says, there's only one lawgiver and judge. And if he were to speak ebonically, he would say, "And you ain't it." Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He says, there's only one, and you're not that one.
Amen.
There's only one. Look at the word "only." When we stand in that place where only he is supposed to stand, when we turn our little raggedy car called our life into his lane, we're out of our lane. Because there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge, and we are not that. We'll get into that more. Let's go back to the definition again of the word slander. Remember, we read it from Noah Webster's dictionary, the 1828 edition. Why go back to the 1828 edition? Because the definitions during that period were based on the word. Now they're based on culture, society, worldviews. Back then, it was based on the word. Definitions were based on the word of God. So we go back to that. So in that 1828 edition, it reads that slander is a false tale, T-A-L-E, or report maliciously uttered and tending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens, by exposing him to impeachment or accusations and punishment, or by impairing his means of living. We'll go over this again. It shows you great damage that can be done just with the spoken word. Mm-hmm. Notice it says it works on the intent. It says a false tale or report maliciously uttered. Malicious means what? Intent, deliberation, purpose. I'm uttering this with the intent to harm, to lessen you, and maybe even to cause you to not be able to make a living. That's from the heart of the devil. Mm-hmm. Period. And saints of God, let me warn you. Let us be warned that to rest on your laurels and say, "Hey, I don't slander," but you sit around those who do and say nothing about it, that shouldn't make you feel good. That shouldn't make you say, "Well, hey, I didn't say it." then go away from that. You shouldn't be a party to. Now, if it's just impossible for you to get out of the situation, that's different. You're on the elevator, somebody talking crazy. You can't go bust through the walls. But if you're in an office party around the water cooler or whatever, go to the bathroom. Get out of there. Don't sit around and let that and be a party to that junk. Don't aid and abet the sinner. Because your lack of disapproval can be mistakenly seen as approval. Do you get what I'm saying? And if the Lord, so I think here's a good rule in Jesus' name. If the Lord is not telling you to say something about what's happening while you're sitting there listening, then get out of the room. Amen. You hear that? I think that's the word for us. If you're in the area and malicious gossip is going on, slander, if you're hearing it and the Lord does not prompt you, the Holy Ghost does not prompt you to speak against that, then you shouldn't continue to stand there. Get out of the area. You're like, I'm not going to listen to this. Does that make everyone understand that?
Amen.
It's not enough to say, I don't do it. I know the Lord is calling us to be better than we were in last year. To be better than we were yesterday. I just feel, if I can get a bit in my charismatic, sanctified soul, I just feel a push in my spirit to say, come up higher in me. Don't be satisfied nor content with where you are. Yes, you've made gains. Yes, you've made strides. Yes, you're not where you used to be. Deacon Don gave his testimony at the Adele Foss Men's Fellowship. How the Lord has moved him along. But we don't stay there. We don't settle. And so maybe you used to be content. I'm just hypothetically saying, and maybe I'm not, but maybe you used to be content with saying, well, hey, I don't slander. But you were content enough to listen to it. Well, the next level is, hey, either I'm speaking against it or I'm walking out of the room. I'm not going to long and sit up and listen. I'm not going to be sit around and listen to sin being committed. Saints, let's step up. Let's go higher in the Lord. I just feel a push at Word of Life is to go higher. He's going to push each and every one of us. I know he's pushing me. When folks are uttering false tales, giving malicious reports with the intent to injure a reputation, with the intent to lessen a person in front of other people by exposing them to false accusations and impairing even their means of living. Like, I don't want nothing to do with that. Slander is vicious. A summary definition is, slander is an attack on the reputation of someone by publishing false and malicious things that slander and injure, flat out. We talked about one's reputation being extremely valuable. Proverbs 22, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, the A portion. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Told you this is the verse that my dad read to me before he put a whipping on my backside. That's right. Pray for me. Papa, I'm still number one?
Number one.
Wow, he didn't even hesitate. Hey, y'all didn't even look at it. He didn't even look up. He's still reading the Bible. Number one. Wow. Proverbs 22, verse 1a, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. My father was whipping a probably 8-year-old, 7-8-year-old, somewhere in there, doesn't understand that. But boy, isn't that a teaching moment. Children don't know. That's why we are to teach them. Not Sunday school, not public school, not even a Christian school. The specific teaching, I know it's a side journey, but the specific teaching of the child is supposed to be to the parents. I didn't understand that at that time, but see, was, yeah, I'm talking about it. 52 years later, I still remember it. Because it was the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? You, those of you who have little ones around you, you keep planting that, and that's a word too for all of us. Keep planting the seed. Now, don't worry about it. They don't understand. They don't, you ain't Holy Ghost. Don't do God. Just obey God. You try to do the other part. Well, they ain't going to get it. So I ain't gonna, if you don't give it to them, then God going to get you because you're disobeying.
Amen.
And as parents, grandparents, granduncles, all the grands, give it to them. Love on them. Give them the word. How old is Ezra?
Ezra, he's 4.
4. Smart dude, too. You don't realize, well, Word of Life, man, because we've been having combined, quote-unquote, church for years now. You'd be surprised what those little folks are getting.
Amen.
I told you one of Yami's children, he was 2 years old. 2 years old, but he'd been sitting up in big church with everybody else for probably about a year or so, and somebody was doing something wrong. He spoke to the family.
You're not supposed to be doing that.
2 years old. The mother came and told me. I know what God is doing. Because it's Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't need Muppets and puppets and all of that. He doesn't need that. We try to help him by having children's church and all these other things. Just teach them. Mm-hmm. Tell little Johnny, little Jimmy, little Susie, little whoever, Roxanne. Yeah, good name is better than great wealth. Because I didn't have a good name. You get kicked out of Phys Ed, you got a bad name. Everybody like Jim. Who get kicked out of gym? You know what I'm saying? Think about that. Who in the world? And I felt bad that I didn't have a good name. I did. That pricked my heart. My name stayed bad for several years, too. Chris, you gotta shake your head like that. Chris looked at me all sideways like, but you know what the Lord does? He makes a name great.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's not just a promise only to Abraham. That's to Abraham and to his seed.
Amen.
Because wherever you are, your name ought to be great because you are a child of God. Not just because you're a child of God, but you're living like one.
Amen.
You're portraying the image of Christ being formed in you. So when we go to your job, when we go to your neighborhood and mention your name, there ought to be glowing reports. Unless someone just hates you because you are a Christian, then still you'll pick that up too. Oh, well, he just too good. He'll never do nothing wrong. He'll smoke, drink, or nothing. You even hear that part, but that's still a testimony.
Amen.
Good name. It's extremely valuable. I don't know if you caught it, Father. Help us to get it, because you didn't just say that it's to be more desired than wealth, but you said great wealth. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The A portion of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. What are we reading? The Word of God. The Word of God that is breathed from the breath of God. So God is saying through the writers that a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. This is what God is saying. Don't be fooled by the book and the chapter and verse. Realize overall, this is coming from God. This is what God is saying. This is what you ought to value. A good name. How much do we really believe that? Do we go to great expense to make sure that our name stays good because of who we represent? Remember now, don't get fooled by the smoke screen. It's not about you. It's because of whose you are and to whom you belong. Does that make sense? Because the devil come in and was just have it stuck right here, and you have you. It's all about me, Gregory. No, it's all about him, but you are his body here on the earth. And therefore, you are his representative here on the earth. And you are here in Christ's stead. And you are here for Christ's sake. It's all about him. You want a good name because you represent him. And you know that with your parents. You know, boy, you a Harris. What's wrong with you? You know, my dad was coaching, and he was a teacher for years, well respected, and was moved up to a counselor before the year he died. He was going to be the counselor, and my mother comes along, and she's upstanding. You know, so you there was a name that was there that you were to be held up, and you didn't want to embarrass. Well, how much more your heavenly father if you didn't want to even embarrass your earthly parents? Verse 1, Ecclesiastes, a good name is better than a good ointment. Remember we talked about a good ointment, the alabaster box that was broken over the feet of Jesus, or the head of one of them, the feet of the head, one of them, was a year's worth of wage. Very, very, very costly. Same thing, great wealth. Lord God, I don't know if we're getting this, but I think we understand the words. But get it down into our hearts how valuable a good name is, because a good name positions us to bring you maximum praise, glory, and honor. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Even society recognizes the value of a good name. Even society, why do you think you have, which is, when it first, it still puts, it's very off-putting to me, but when they, you know, make sure, I'm sorry. You go into a store, a restaurant, whatever, where some service is performed for you. And they said, now make sure you give us 5 stars now so I can, you know, this and the other. I'm like, wow, you know, that coming out of the era that I grew up in, you didn't do that. You know, you just, but what they've done is they've linked incentives and things to how many stars you're getting and all your customer approval rating and all of that. Well, what they're doing is making sure or ensuring that they have a good name. Give us 5 stars because that's, you know, but a good name is not given. It's not begged for. It's earned. Society recognizes. I'm just talking about society to recognize. That's the point I'm making. They even recognize that in a mighty way. And the better the reputation, the more dollars come their way. Now, their incentive is different from ours. Ours is to bring God glory. Theirs is to make more money. But regardless, society recognizes that your reputation is how you are measured, how you are evaluated. Your reputation is that which is used as a basis of judgment. GE, we bring good things to life. Ford has a better idea. Nike, just do it. Catchy things that kind of bring you in. And they understand that, you know, once we get you in, we better give you a good product so you'll keep coming back. We said here earlier that they recognize society, that your reputation is your standard, the way you're judged, so much so that the courts of this nation, there are laws even to protect your reputation. Because if you are unjustly and illegally slandered, folks, can you have recourse? You can sue them for that. Isn't that something? For just damaging your reputation? You can be sued for that. Mm-hmm. Even the world understands it, not to the level we do, but they even understand it. We then said there are three key elements to slander. The first is publishing, to publish. Second is to publish or proclaim that which is false. And then the third is to proclaim that which is false with malicious intent. So to publish / proclaim, to proclaim that which is false, then to proclaim that which is false with malicious intent. Slander does, among many things, three things. It assaults.
Learn how to spell.
A-U-L-T-S. It assaults people's dignity. It insults their character. And it destroys their reputation.
Destroys your whole YS.
So it assaults dignity. It insults their character. And it destroys their reputation.
I think when you see that kind of like that, you can see how damaging it is. It is deadly, deadly, deadly.
Slander is a devastating sin. The scary part is that it is, as you said last time, easy to commit. Why? Because we can talk at any time. We can talk anytime. We are in complete control of our mouths. Scary. Especially, I mean, even with Holy Spirit, genuine children of God still say crazy things that do great damage from the pulpit to the last pew. Slander, unfortunately, is widespread and in some cases almost inescapable. Unless you just shut your mouth. The Old Testament condemns the sin of slander. We'll kind of stop right in this area. More than any other sin. It condemns the sin of slander against man and God. More than any other sin. The Old Testament condemns the sin of slander against man and God more than any other sin. Now, it condemns all the sins, but it condemns this one more. You think God was trying to say something? Absolutely. Let's look at the first instance of slander
in Scripture. Genesis chapter 3. We've been turning there a lot lately. And that's something how it is linked through all of the teachings that we're talking about. The gospel, this, the one of whatever the series was before that, we're back here. One of the most pivotal chapters in, maybe the most pivotal chapter in all of Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at the first instance of slander in Scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Or did God really say that? Is it safe to say that the devil knew that? Is it safe to say then, in a real slinkified, more subtle and crafty way, that he was slandering the motive and integrity of God right off the rip? That's the first instance of slander right there. Did God really? He knew God said. What was he trying to do? Bring doubt, cast doubt in Eve's heart concerning God's motive, concerning God's integrity. He's slick that way. That's the first instance right there. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." Here's a second instance of slander. Verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." What is he? Is he attacking again? God's integrity, because God's a liar. He slandered the righteous and holy character of God the second time. You ain't. And then the third time, verse 5. "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." God is keeping something from you and don't want you to have it, in slandering the integrity of God again the third time. You can say that that was the second sin that was committed by Satan. What was the first one? The first sin committed by Satan.
Pride.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. The first sin committed by Satan, pride. "I will be like the Most High." Pride. Secondly, was slander. And don't hold me to that dogmatic. You know, we human beings, you know, trying to understand this craziness here. And if it wasn't a second sin, it was certainly a sin committed. He slipped. You got to understand, he's coming at us the same way. Did God really say, "Are you sure that ain't that bad? How about that one? That ain't so bad. If you just take a little peek, a little smoke, a little swig, you know, a little peeky-peeky, ain't all that bad." And he make it sound like a kid, peeky-peeky. See, that sound innocent, like a little kid. Yeah, peeky-peeky. And then you repeat it, but you really want to take a peek. And you know you shouldn't be looking at what you're about to see. And the Holy Ghost is, I mean, your stomach is bubbling, you got the bubble guts. I mean, you just all messed up. You know what you're about to do is wrong. Bells going on, the train, the railroad crossing that came down, the red lights are flashing, that loud bell is ringing, ding, 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 and you still going to want to take a peeky peeky. Let's lessen it. Let's make it look like something else. Oh, it's not so bad. And then when you start listening, you're doing the opposite of Psalm 1. You're walking in the count, standing, sitting. You're listening now. Then he can flat out lie to you. God didn't really say that. Ain't no big deal.
that ain't really a sin. You believe the slanderous lies, the malicious, slanderous lies of Satan. And he's slandering you and I against our own Father who is in heaven. Shame on us. Shame on us. You know the story of verse 6, the woman believed the lies. She saw a tree was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. Desired to make one wise, she took from its fruit, ate, gave it to her husband. He ate with her. First instance, slander in Scripture. It is a devastating, crushing sin that we can commit at a moment's notice. And boy, boy, if we get angry and our flesh is on the ascendancy, look out. You may tear some people up before you realize, look what I've done up here. Oh, wait, let me. So now, by the time your spirit may get back up there, all kind of carnage. Those folks just laid all out, all from words. We must be careful. Exodus 23 and 1. Exodus chapter 23 and 1. Exodus. Yeah. EX. Chapter 23. Mm-hmm, sorry. And verse 1. That's what we were talking about. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. What book? Mother. Exodus. Chapter 23.
Right book.
Exodus.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Chapter 23 and verse 1. Let me know when you have it, Mother. Okay. Verse 1, you shall not bear a false report, a slander, semicolon. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. Look at that. You're sitting there not doing anything about it. Word of God says you are a malicious witness. Think about it. Why would you sit around that? Think about that. You got the Holy Ghost in you. The Spirit of God is living in you. You are a partaker of the divine nature. This person here is committing this heinous sin and you're just sitting around up under it. I'm talking about, and you don't have to. Now, I know like we gave you time, you may have to, but you don't have to. And he hasn't told you to speak against it, then why continue to be there? Pick up your lunch. I don't care. Wow, man, where he going? You think you better go through all of that and go sit off in a corner somewhere and don't care that they want to live. Well, what's wrong with you? I'm not trying to hear what you're talking about. That's where I'm going. I'm going to go where I get some peace. Don't be a malicious witness in the eyes of God. One more. We'll stop. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16, and it reads, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. What are they? Verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, first instance of slander, hands that shed innocent blood, 18, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, 19, a false witness who utters lies, second instance, reference to slander, and one who spreads strife among brothers. That can be argued that that's a third instance to slander. So out of the six things, there were three of them that's related to slander. Wow. He could have named all kind of things because he hates all of it. But he mentions some reference to slander in three of on things on this list. And he hates it. It's detestable to him. He detests it. A lying tongue, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. If you slander somebody, is that going to spread strife? It most certainly will. We'll stop there, Lord willing, and we'll pick up next time in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. Father God, we make it out here on these days, Sundays and Wednesdays, and I'm hoping like others that we're getting your word electronically or something, or meditating it day and night, the other days. Why? Why are we doing all of this? Because we want to store your word up in our hearts in abundance, richly. Deposit it in abundance. Have big, juicy deposits of your word richly stored up in our hearts in abundance. Why? To have a glut of your word? No. That we may not sin against you. Because in not sinning against you, we have then been positioned to bring you maximum praise and glory and honor. And for that purpose are we here on this earth. And that purpose alone. How shall the people of God keep their way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.